This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I'm already in my lesson, but I just want to thank Lady LaConte, the staff, the team, and everyone who did anything to make the past 2 weeks church just amazing. Every week, new people came. Every week, people got saved, made decisions for Christ, because WLCC is not about James McIver, but it's about pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. And so let's give all of them a big hand. Did a good job. Amen. I was on assignment, and so I normally don't do things like that, but I do understand the assignment that is on my life, and sometimes that means I have to be away every once in a while, but even when I'm away, you are always in good hands, amen? And so I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the subject, the devil can't win. The devil can't win. And I'm going to emphasize and get you to understand a little bit more in depth, if you don't, about spiritual warfare. I've been praying for you, you know, like I always do, and this has kind of been strong on me that there's some certain subjects that I need to teach. There's some certain areas that I need to push you in a little bit. Normally, pastors just kind of real low-key, but you might find over the next several weeks, I might be pushing you a little bit, because I want to make sure that you are being strengthened in your walk with God, that you are growing in the Word of God, that you are maturing in the things of God. And so I want to talk to you from the subject of my title is The Devil Can't Win, but really is talking about understanding spiritual warfare. This is something that most believers deal with, although I'm not sure they understand totally what's going on. The Bible talks about there's a battle that is going on and is taking place between those of us that are in the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. I don't know if you realize this, but the Bible actually talks about three different heavens, all right? So the first heaven is the sun, the stars, and the clouds. The next heaven is, the Bible calls it the spiritual heavenlies, where there's demonic activity, where there's fights going on for the lives of the people. Spiritual battles are taking place. And then the third heaven is where God is, where we will all spend eternity together as long as we have given our life to Jesus. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you a little bit about that second heaven, where these spiritual battles are taking place, and how they directly affect us and how we are to respond to them. Now, if you know me, because, you know, if you're new, you might say, ooh, that sounds pretty deep. If you know me, I always take complex things and make them simple. I'm the guy that's going to take the cookie jar from the top of the cabinet and put it on the bottom so everybody can get some cookies. You understand? So that's what I'm going to do today. And so let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. And I want you to really pay close attention to what I'm teaching you today. Don't let your buddy be texting back and forth talking about where we going to eat afterwards. Amen. You tell him, I can't talk to you right now. I got to pay attention. Amen. All right, Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. I'm in the NIV today only because there's a few words that just kind of push it. KJV says, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. So we see that there is armor that we are supposed to have on. And he says, so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. All right. So it's showing us that we are in a battle. All right. He says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Quit trying to fight your boss. Quit trying to fight your spouse. Quit trying to fight your neighbors. He says, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is that second heaven that I told you about. He says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, and you notice it didn't say if, he says, when the day of evil comes, when the enemy tries to show up in your life, because, you know, that's just part of it. You know, there's a real devil out there, and the enemy will show up in your life. Pastor, I wish you would be more positive. I'm positive the enemy is going to show up in your life, right? But you have to know how to understand what the Word of God has given us, the authority that we have, so you can overcome it, all right? It says, when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, he says, stand firm then, and watch what he tells us. He says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. How many know we got to walk in truth? with the breastplate of righteousness in place. If we are children of the King, how many know it's not our righteousness, but it is his righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags, isn't that right? But he makes us righteous because we've accepted Jesus. And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And so we're talking about truth, we're talking about righteousness, we're talking about peace. And how many know that when you get the gospel of peace, there's a peace you have to have and a peace you have to walk in regardless of what's going on in your life, right? All right. And in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith. So important, because the Bible says we live by faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He shoots all those negative thoughts, all those mental thoughts, and tells you you're not going to make it and all those kind of things. The Bible says, man, you just take the shield of faith and you handle that. So we understand I've got to walk in truth. We've got to understand that I have to understand that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that I need to walk in peace. I need to walk in faith. Watch this. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. You got it. And watch this. And the sword of the Spirit. Notice, he gives you all defensive gear, and at the very end, he gives you one piece of offensive gear, which is the word of God. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Why does he give me all this defensive stuff? Watch this. Because you're going to find out a little bit later, the devil really doesn't have any power in your life. So when he shoots stuff, you just take the shield of faith and say, oh, man, I'm not worried about that. When he lies to you, you just walk in truth. When he tries to bring torment, you just understand the peace of God that surpasses all. He says, but when you do have to go from the defense onto the offense, he says you got to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, because the word of God is all you need when you're fighting back. This is why we must be careful what is coming out of our mouth. This is why we got to be careful what we're saying on Instagram and Facebook and to our friends. Hello, somebody. This is why we have to make sure that we are only saying what the word of God says, because to the degree I say what the word says, I'm going to see what the word says in my life. But when things are going crazy and spiritual warfare is taking place and the evil day or the enemy is showing up, if I'm talking doubt, if I'm talking unbelief, if I'm talking foolishness, if I'm trying to clap back at somebody who's trying to come in for me on Facebook, I have found myself to be in an immature spot. And instead of progressing, I'm digressing. Is digressing going back? Yeah, all right, you got it. I got to be sure. I'm not an English teacher, praise the Lord. And so what happens is, but when I am a mature believer and I have spent time in the Word, whatever's on the inside of me is going to come up out of me. And so I have to understand that. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, Paul pushes this a little further. Y'all get anything out of this? He says, he talks about strongholds. Paul and Jesus talk about these. Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Jesus talks about it, I think, in Luke, the 2nd chapter. Paul calls it strongholds. Jesus calls it the strong man. Same thing, all right? 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. They're not guns. They're not bombs. It's not clapping back on social media. He says, on the contrary, he says, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, let's talk about strongholds for a minute. They got my definition on the screen, and they'll put it up. A stronghold is anything that exalts itself in our, what does it say, class? Come on, try it again. Anything that exalts itself in our minds, pretending it's not real, to be bigger or more powerful than our God. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to come and exalt himself. He tries to lie. He tries to pretend like things are going to get worse before they get better. He tries to make things to be bigger than God. A stronghold causes you to be locked up by deception and live your life by something that's not true. That's what the devil's doing. You got it? And a lot of us, I know we don't like to admit it, we are allowing strongholds to be on us, and we're living every day with a stronghold on us. We're going to work with strongholds. We're coming home with strongholds. We're living our normal day with strongholds, and we're feeding in or allowing the lies from the enemy or his deception to make us think we're less than, or we're not going to make it, or it's not going to get better, when actually, if you will replace that lie lie with the truth offense of God's word, you'll cause it to go away. Does that make sense? This young man's teaching. I don't know if you understand he's teaching in here. Watch this. You got to get this. A stronghold, because some people think a stronghold is just an addiction. And it is, but it's not limited to. A stronghold can be an addiction. A stronghold can be a habit. But a stronghold could also be a wound from something that somebody did to you that you're still carrying. It could also be a negative thought process because of something that you're going through. Or it could just be a lie from the enemy. So now let's pick back up in 2 Corinthians 10. Let's go to verse 5. Now watch what the writer says. He says, we demolish arguments. What are arguments, pastors? Lies from the enemy. He says, and every pretension. This is where the enemy pretends to have power that he doesn't have. That sets itself up against what? Watch this. Against what? The knowledge of God. What God has already said about you, which is truth. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the devil wants you to build your life based on a lie instead of you living your life based on the truth of God's word. He wants you to always doubt. He wants you to walk in unbelief. He wants you to be depressed. He wants you to walk in fear. He wants you to have anxiety. He wants you to be worried that things are not going to work. That's just a trick of the enemy. But you have to understand that he is a lie and the truth is not in him. All right. John 8:44, in the latter part of that verse, it says there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Why? For he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Let me tell you why it's important not to believe these lies. Because this is now this is a grammable, tweetable, and bookable, but just make sure that you say it the right way. You don't even have to give me any credit. You got it? Because if you say it wrong, give me credit. It seemed like I said the wrong thing. Praise the Lord. So you don't even have to give me credit. All right? When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. When we believe a lie, we empower the liar. All right? So you have to know the truth. And the truth is that you are going to make it and you are going to win. The truth is God did not bring you this far just to leave you. The truth is that you are built to last. The truth is that you've been made of the tough stuff because you've been made in his image and you've been made in his likeness. And as your man of God, it's important for me to really push this and get you to a place from where you are to where you need to be so you can really understand what's going on, because you just think it's a situation going on in your life when it's actually spiritual warfare, because this happens and then it seems like when that gets fixed, something else happens. Then when that gets fixed, something else happens. And if you're not careful, you're like, well, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. No, it is the devil. You got it? It is spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is not putting you in a chair in the middle of the room so you can spin around so we can all hold up a cross. That's called the movies. You understand? Spiritual warfare in its simplest application. Everybody say simplest application. Is when you feel the heaviness, you feel the anxiety, you feel the depression, and you press your way to church anyways. You lift your hands during worship anyways. You begin to sing the praises of God anyways. You open your mouth and declare the word of the Lord anyways, and then all of a sudden the anxiety starts to leave and the depression starts to go and the fear starts to walk away. Why? Because you were operating in spiritual warfare. You were letting the devil know, that's it, that's enough, you're alive, the truth ain't in you, I don't accept it. I don't receive it. You can have it back. I want my joy back. I want my peace back. Hello, somebody. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I know who I am now. It might have had to take my pastor to help me, but it is what it is. There is no shame in my game. And if anybody saw me acting crazy prior to this, I ain't got to ask nobody for any forgiveness. If I can just go to God and get it right with him, watch this, because if you was in my business, you shouldn't have been anyways. So we've got to understand, watch this, that spiritual warfare is not about how loud you pray, but it's how effective you pray. Spiritual warfare is not about how loud you worship, but are you worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth? And I'm not knocking loud because I'm loud. You understand what I'm saying? When I pray, you know, I pray. But if you're not careful, you think you got to do what I do to get the results I did. But you think that the results are based on me being loud, when yes, I'm loud. But if you listen to me, I'm effective. So God doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter to God if you're loud and effective or quiet and effective, just as long as you're saying what the word says, which causes you to be effective when you pray. Watch this. So you can push back the spirit of darkness and cause the light of God's favor to show up in your life. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. The Bible says in Psalms 149:6, may the praise of God be in their mouth. He said, and a double-edged sword in their hand. So God says, I want you to worship me, but while you're worshiping me, you're killing giants. You're causing principalities and rulers and darkness of this world to fall at the name of Jesus, because the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are saved. Spiritual warfare does not mean that you have to have pastor right there with you. What if pastor's on vacation? Spiritual warfare means that you know the word of God and you know how to speak the word of God. And sis, if he's acting up at night, just take that oil in the daytime and just put it on the bed and the pillow. And brother, if she's acting up at night, just take the oil and do the same thing. If the kids are doing it, and start speaking the word of God. Don't get upset. Don't get emotional. Don't fall apart. But take this word and give it back to the devil, and you will overcome him in Jesus' name. That's what spiritual warfare is. So no more feeling sorry for yourself. I know that's tough, but I love you, and I got to make sure you get this. And it's not that I'm insensitive of what you're going through, but I need you to understand who you are, that you are a king's kid, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are the apple of his eye, that you are the object of his affection, and you have no business allowing the devil to cause anxiety and fear and worry and torment. The Bible says, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. It will only happen to the degree that I worship him and that I give and I allowed the word to come out of me. Does that make sense? So when I worship him, man, things happen. When I worship him, the devil has to flee. When I worship him, chains have to fall. Let's just take the next 5 seconds and somebody shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. I'm telling you, you are going to make it. And you are going to win, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you've got more power than the devil's got every day of your life. If I had time, and I'm not done yet, but I know that's normally my phrase. If I had time, I would really take some time and explain the reason why it's imperative to overcome these strongholds, because I'm actually in my introduction, I haven't gotten to my points yet, all right? But that's okay. Because let me tell you real quickly what strongholds do. Strongholds, they steal our focus. When there's a stronghold, you'll find a day's gone by, you haven't spent any time with your family, you haven't spent any time in the Word, you haven't done anything productive, and don't feel bad, because it's happened to all of us, including me. You got it, all of it. There's been a time in our life where we just allowed the enemy to allow that situation, you got it, to overwhelm us. Not only does it steal your focus, but when that happens, it causes us to feel controlled by what's going on. It consumes our emotional energy. Sometimes you just like, I'm just tired. And the enemy wants to do that because he doesn't want you to fight back. It distracts us from our purpose. Your purpose is to make a difference, and the enemy doesn't want you to make a difference. So if he can allow a situation to come and show up in your life, you would normally be encouraging somebody. You would normally be doing this for somebody or doing that for somebody. And so now he allows something to come to distract you, and ultimately it robs us of the life that God intends for us to live. All right. Now, y'all know I'm a three-point preacher. Isn't that right? All right. So I'm going to give you 3 points with 3 points under the points. All in the next 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Is this helping you? All right. So let me give you, watch this. I'm going to give you 3 realities, all right, that you need to understand. I'm going to give you 3 weapons that you can use. And then I'm going to give you 3 things that you need to do every day. Y'all ready to dive into this? All right, here we go. 3 realities that you need to understand. Number one, the devil is real. Some people want to act like he's not real. That's not going to make him go away. All right. So he is real. Revelation 12:7 says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. He was the worship leader. And watch this. And he thought that he wanted to be worshipped, and he thought he was better than God. How many know that didn't work out? the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So the devil is real, but you have to, and the second thing you have to understand, number two, is the devil's goal is to destroy you, all right? When bad things happen, it's not God's fault. We make mistakes when bad things happen in our lives and we don't go to church. We leave church. We get upset with God. We stop praying. We stop reading the word. John 10 and 10 says that this is just not true. He says, it is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, right? So you have to understand that the devil is real. His goal is to destroy you. But number three, the devil has no authority over you. He has, watch this, he has no authority over you whatsoever. And the only power he can ever have is the power you give him. Does that make sense? 1 John 4 and 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you have to understand that he is powerless in your life. Let me explain something to you. Would anybody be scared to walk up on stage and stand in front of this speaker? Did somebody say yes? Oh, Lord. Let's get the prayer team back out. Y'all talk back to me. Would anybody be scared just to come and stand in front of? So you don't think that the speaker's gonna jump out at you, that it's gonna get you, that's gonna steal your wallet or your purse, it's gonna cause anxiety? Why? Because the speaker has no authority in your life. Well, you got to understand the devil is the same way. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, but all he can do is roar, because Jesus snatched out his teeth over 2,000 years ago on Calvary, and he is now powerless in your life. And so when you look at that speaker, it is just like the devil. He has no authority over you. And when you understand that and get a revelation of that, watch it, then you can get your bounce back. Come on, somebody. You can get your hello, because you have to understand the importance of talking back to the devil. But when you talk back to him with the word. All right. So I gave you three realities. Now, let me give you three weapons you can use. Everybody say number one. Number one, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Mark 16 and 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. He says, in my what?
Name.
The name of Jesus, right? Shall they what? Cast out devils. Shall they do what? Speak with new tongues. Shall they do what? Take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. This is called the ascension, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that before Jesus ascends back to heaven, not only does he give us the great commission, but he gets us to understand that there is power in his name, and to the degree we utilize his name and the authority that comes with it, nothing by any means shall be able to hurt us. Does that make sense? Amen. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. So the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Everybody say number two. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Revelations 12 and 11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There, watch this, there is still power in the blood. It has not lost any power. There is power, power, wonder-working power. Where is it at? In the blood of the Lamb. So what can wash away your sins? Nothing but what can make you whole again? Yeah. That's right. He says, oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then the last one in this, I got one more thing after this, of this second point, the number three of the second point is the word of Jesus. John 8 and 31, Jesus said to those which believed on him, to those which did what? Believed on him, and that's the key. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth that you know is going to make you free. It's not just truth that makes you free. It is the truth that you know and have a revelation of and understand and walk in. That's what makes you free. All right? All right, maestro, let's go home. Three things to do every day. How often? three things to do every day. I did good. I got 3 minutes and 40 seconds to really work on this, and that's what I want to do. Number one, commit myself to God. And I want to ask the question, James 4:7, I'll read it first. Submit yourselves then to God. Submit yourselves to who?
God.
Resist the, and what's going to happen? It's real simple. If I submit myself to God, if I resist the devil, he is going to flee. So my question is, are you really submitting yourself to God? Do you really spend time in prayer, or at least get on the prayer call? Do you have any devotions? Or we have all kind of devotions. We have the one-year Bible. We have the confession book on our website. We've got all kind of things that we can give to you, but the question is, are you utilizing it? Sometimes the reason why Christians are weak is because they're not utilizing what God has given them. The name of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. You understand? Number two, close any open doors. Some of this might get you. But this is you can't get mad at Pastor at this point. I'm almost done. Sometimes you haven't closed the door, and that's why you're still mad. You haven't closed the door, that's why you're still bitter. You haven't closed the door, that's why you're still walking in unforgiveness. And because you haven't closed the door, you think you're hurting somebody else, and you're really only hurting you. And that's what the enemy loves, because this whole spiritual warfare, I know you don't like me to say this, but the devil's actually smart. He knows what he's doing. But God is smarter and God is greater. And God is on the inside of you. Ephesians 4:31. I want y'all to talk back to me, all right? Get rid of all. Hold on. There we go. Get rid of all.
Bitterness.
And what else?
Rage.
And what else?
Anger.
We're going one at a time, y'all. And what else?
Wrong.
And what else?
Standard.
And every form of.
Now.
He says, you got to get rid of all that. He says the situation that's been going on in your life and the tough trials that you went through, and they weren't always your fault. I get it. But you got to let it go, because the enemy is winning when you don't let it go. How do I know I let it go? If you've really forgiven somebody, you can go back, watch this, and treat them the way you did before they did whatever they did to you. That's how you know if you're really walking in forgiveness. I didn't say you got to be their best friend no more. I didn't say you got to go out to lunch with them every day. Hello, somebody. And I know that sometimes that can be a process. But the question is, are you on the road to that process? Y'all got quiet. Somebody's upset with me. Verse 32, but don't yell at me, but just say it. But be what? And what else? To one another. What's the next word? Forgiving? Who? Just as Christ forgave you. Every time you mess up, God forgives you right away. The moment you mess up and you go to God and say, God, I'm sorry, he forgives you right away. And then he throws it into the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. If you come back the next day and say, I'm sorry, he says, what are you talking about? Because he doesn't remember it. And so God has forgiven you. So who are you not to forgive someone else? But see, what we don't understand, the whole spiritual warfare, because we just thought it was so deep and it was so beyond what we're trying to comprehend, that spiritual warfare, sometimes the enemy just keeping you in unforgiveness so you can live a life of turmoil. Ephesians 4:26, I got 6 seconds left. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. If you're married, you better figure this out. I'm telling you, if you want to have a good marriage, if you need to get help, get help. We've got counselors here. You got it that can help you. Don't allow pride to keep you from having a good relationship with your spouse. But being mad at each other, one and fussing at each other, and talking down, and then you go on to tell everybody else your other side of the story, and the enemy is winning. He's winning in this warfare, and round she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows, and the enemy's just hoping that you talk divorce. He's hoping you do this, and I know I have members in the room that have been through divorce, and you know I'm not knocking you. You got it. You know, you have to be more mature and understand that I'm not, you know, but there's a whole lot of people still married, and I still have to get them to understand that they can win with the one that they got. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. And so you have to make it up in your mind, I'm not going to let the devil win. Number three, I'm out of time. Confront the enemy in prayer. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, do what, class? Pray about what? Even the stuff that make you mad. It's probably stuff that needs to be at the top of your list. Lord, bless me and do this for me and do this for me and do this. And then you get down to that person. I ain't praying for them. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I hope you understand this lesson that I've just shared with you and have a better understanding of spiritual warfare and how it works and how the enemy is just working overtime. But watch this. I would like to say you can win, but I'm trying to tell you you've already won. You just have to take everything that he's already given you and begin to apply in your life. And if you do it, you'll get results. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. We've already made our appeals earlier, and so I'm going to pray this prayer, and then we're going to leave. So only move if you have to. We have a few people that have to get up and move. So if you see people getting up and moving, they're not being disrespectful. They have to go get on post. So if you don't have a post you need to get on, then you hang out with me for the next 3 or 4 minutes. It's important that you're not moving when I'm praying, because God is dealing with the hearts of people. Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, that your word is truth. And to the degree that we accept your truth and walk in truth, then we'll get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of my life. So I pray for every person in this room and those that are online and those that will hear this lesson later. And I declare in the name of Jesus that they are winning and that they are not losing, that they are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I thank you as of today, they're going to take the armor and they're going to properly use it, and they're going to overcome everything that's not like God. And as a result, their mental health is getting better. As a result, anxiety is leaving. As a result, depression and heaviness has to go in Jesus' name. Peace is coming and joy is coming to their hearts. Thank you, Lord, that the devil can't win. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the room?